Good morning. Today's Daf Moed Chan Chav Zion. We are in the very middle of Chavav Amud Beis. We are starting at the wide line, Hilchos Kriya. So yesterday we turned our attention to a lot of the Inyani Kriya. The Gemara is going to continue along those lines. So for a mace, so there is a Shas Achimim. There's a time of most intense pain. And the response to that, in addition to all the Nihugei Avelos that begin at that point in time, is also going to be to tear clothing, to do Kriya. So we learned a number of details regarding the halachas of Kriya, and so we're just going to continue. We point out yesterday, there are a couple of machloksim that we're going to be seeing in the Gemara. Yesterday noted that we had a machlokas regarding Kriya, and we weren't mako. So the Gemara wanted to know, so how come we're not going to be mako by Hilchos Kriya like we are by Avelos? We saw B'Shem Shmuel that when it comes to Avelos, halacha kedivrei ha-mako ba-avel. And meanwhile, by Kriya, we're not going to be Mako. So the Gemara, and this is where we ended off with yesterday, and that is Avelos Lechud Kriya Lechud. And that is to say that you keep them separate. Meaning when it comes to Avelos, so we're going to be Mako, but when it comes to Kriya, not necessarily. As I pointed out yesterday, the one way to say it, but it's not universal. It's not the only way to say it. But one way to say it is Avelos is a Din D'Rabbanan, and Kriya is a Chiyuv D'Oraisa. In yesterday's Gemara, we went through a number of psukim throughout Tanakh that spoke to this idea of Kriya as being a response and a proper reaction to loss. So that's one way. That's one way to say it. But again, there are many other ways to say it, and that might not necessarily be true in terms of Avelos being a din d'rabbanan and also Kriya being a din d'oraisa. But anyway, ad heichan koreas. We're going to continue in the Gemara. We're right in the middle of Chavav Amud Beis. And the Gemara's discussion now is going to be basically, where do you do Kriya? And until what point in time do you do Kriya? So you're starting by the neckline and you're going to be working your way down. How far down do you go? Ati Buro. So no further. Correct. So no further below the navel. At that point in time, it's not going to be considered a valid Kriya, meaning anything below that is just simply not recognizable. And so therefore, anything below that is just simply not going to have a status of being a beged karua. V'yesh armei madlibo. Some say you could go no further down than your heart. V'alfa pishen rai ledavar zech ledavar. Now, even though we don't have an absolute proof to this, but we do have a remez, and that is shenemar, v'karu levavchem v'al bigdechem, the pasuk in Yoel. So what you're going to do is kiru levavchem, and then v'al bigdechem. So you should be tearing your heart, not your begadim. So again, it's a remez, meaning obviously the Navi is giving musar and tochacha, and talking about how we need to change our ways, amend our hearts, but at least there's the remiss.
Yeah, but that was for parents. You say we have to go to the heart.
No, right.
So it means you can add to it.
Right. So there are two discussions. One discussion that we had already was how far down do you have to do the Kriya? Right. So the halach is by Shar Krovim Mitzvah Tefach, and for Aviv and Imo, it's Acha Megales Libo. Over here, we're talking now just in general in terms of when is it considered a recognized Kriya on the Begin. Yeah, correct. Higia l'tiburo. So now, let's say that you got to your navel, and you have to be mosif. Okay, so this is a real rachmanas. All these gemaras are rachmanas. The person now is doing kriya not over one mace, but over multiple mace, and he's doing it on the same bagan, and he already tore all the way down to the navel, and at that point in time, you can't go lower. So what do you do? So that's what the Brisa discusses. So higia l'tiburo marchik shalosh etzbos v'koreh. So you start a new line. So you move over three tfachim, and three etzbaos, and you just make a new line. It's mali melefanov, now machzir la'acharav. If the front is full, you go to the back. And it's mali melamala, hofchal melamata. If you did the top, then you do, and you go to the bottom. In other words, basically, what happens over here is that you just, right, you turn it from the front to the back, you turn it from up to down. In other words, you could do the whole kriya. Doing kriya either from the bottom of the garment or from the side of the garment. So, in other words, it has to be from the front facing part of the garment. So, either from the bottom or from the side, lo yatsa. So that's no good. Ella shekohen gadol porim melamata. The kohen gadol when he does kriya, so he'll do it on the bottom of the garment. Now, why is the kohen gadol doing kriya? In other words, he shouldn't be doing kriya altogether. So let's start there. The Kohen Gadol shouldn't be doing Kriya altogether. All right, the Torah says with clarity that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to show any kinds of Nihugi Avelos, and you're not allowed to do Kriya. That's exactly the point. Meaning by virtue of the fact that we just learned together that doing the Kriya from the bottom is an invalid Kriya. So on one hand, the Kohen Gadol is not to do Kriya because that's the instructions. On the other hand, he wants to show a little bit of kavod. So the solution, the compromise over here, is he'll do a non-valid Kriya. So once he does a non-valid Kriya, so on one hand, he won't be violating the Yisra. On the other hand, he'll be showing the proper cover that he would like to. So the Gemara brings down a machlokus in the name of some Amorim and the name of other Amorim. So Chad Amar Kol Shiva Korea La'achar Shiva Mosif. Okay, so Rachmanis, the person has an additional Kriya that he needs to do. And that is so he had a Meis Rishon, and he's in the Avelis for the Meis Rishon. And now, during Shiva, he has another Meis, and which now he has to do Kriya. So, Kol Shiva Korea. So what you have to do now for the second Meis during Shiva is you have to do an additional Kriya, meaning you can't just simply be Mosif, you can't just simply add to the existing Kriya. Now, La'achar Shiva Mosif, and after Shiva, so what you'll do is you'll be Mosif. Now, the other position is that, if you're within Shloshim, and now you have another mace, so you have to do a new Kriya. After Shloshim, and only after Shloshim, are you then allowed to be Mosif. Now, okay. I understand. We asked that question because, Baruch Hashem, we have options. In other words, they didn't necessarily have options. No. So Maskel Rabbi Zera Mandamar Kol Shiva Korea Mai Delonitin Lashola. So the Gemara says, so let's consider now. Let's go over the first Mandamar who says that Kol Shiva, so you have to make a new Kriya. Now why? Because no Lonitin Lashola. Because during Shiva, so what you can't do is you can't patch it up. In other words, by virtue of the fact that you can't patch it up, so the only way to recognize another Kriya is to do a new Kriya. Okay, so the Gemara says, so I think I understand. So the Gemara says, but here's where we're going to get to a problem. So the Gemara says, but meanwhile, what a woman could do is that a woman could do Kriya, and as we learned earlier in our perek, so she could do the Shlila immediately, right afterwards. And the reason why is very simple, because it's Nias, meaning for her to be uncovered is improper, it's inappropriate, and so therefore she'll do the Kriya, and she'll do Shlila right away. So she'll make a makeshift stitching or patching up of the tear so that she'll be betzanua. So the Gemara now wants to know, so once we know this halacha regarding a woman, that she could be shola la'alter, so now for her, so she could do a hosafa, right? So the Gemara says, wouldn't that be the case, achanami? So the Gemara says, no. So mishum kvodishahu. No. Really, me'ikar adin, that tear has to be torn and has to remain torn. On the other hand, we also have kvodisha. We have her dignity. And to maintain and preserve her dignity, so therefore she could stitch it up immediately. But me'ikar hadin, that tear has to be there. And so therefore, during Shiva, even for a woman, so she has to start a new tear. So mandamar kol shoshim korea amai. So the Gemara now turns its attention to the other position, which is that if you are besoch shloshim and rachmanis, you have another mace. So during the second position is that the entirety of shloshim, so you have to start a new kriya. And it's only after Shloshim where you could be Mosif. So the Gemara wants to know, am I lo nitin lachoso because of Ichui? Meaning during Shloshim, so what can you do during Shloshim? Meaning between Shiva and Shloshim, so you could be Sholel, but you can't do Ichui. And again, just to define our terms, so Sholel is just some sort of patchwork, and Ichui is a professional stitching up of the tear. And so for this mandamer, it's predicated on the fact that during Shloshim, since you can't do a professional stitch work, so therefore, in order to recognize a new Kriya, so you got to start a new tear. So the Gemara says, Ela laviv ulimo lo nitel achos la'olam. So the Gemara asks a similar question. Well, it happens to be that for your mother and father, so we know the halacha, we saw it earlier in our perek, and that is that you can't do ichui, period, for your mother and father. So, and again, what the Gemara now wants to know is that according to this shita, so if you did the original Kriya for one's mother and father and you're post-Shloshim, so and you have another mace and you're wearing this particular garment, so it must be that you have to start a new tear and you can't be Mosif. So the Gemara's answer is very similar. So how mishum kvod aviv imahu? So the Gemara says no. Me'ikar adin really could do ichui. As far as the tear is concerned, the tear is mendable. It's sewable. And you can really stitch it up after Shloshim. We don't for mother and father. Yeah, but that's not a halacha in the Kriya per se. That's Allah and keep it aveim. So vis-a-vis the fact that you're honoring your mother and father, so you're not going to mend it, you're not going to stitch it up professionally from any point going forward. But according to the strict letter of the law, you can, meaning if you put kibbutz av aim aside, so you could stitch it up. So since you could stitch it up, so therefore you could do a hosafa after shoshim, even if the first tear was al aviv ima. Tana rabbanan Yosef bebeka karul if ne'ames, arezi goes also mesim, vesachayim. So let's say you were a beggar karu, meaning that you had a mason, but you already have a torn garment. And so what you decide is you're going to be wearing, just keep on the beggar karu. So on one hand, it is torn. On the other hand, you didn't tear over this particular mace, giving everyone the impression that you tore over this mace. So the Bryce over here speaks in harsh terms about such an individual. You're gozel es ha-mason vesachayim. So what you're doing is you're misleading people. You didn't do the kriya over this particular mace. You're giving everyone the impression that you did. So that's it's disingenuous. It's dishonest. Reshim Gamliel Amir Hamel Chaver Yishalin Cholakecha VeElach VaAvaker Saba Shuhu Cholev VeAlach Matzah Shemes Korea. Okay, an interesting halacha over here. So you go to your friend. You want to borrow a garment. On the other hand, you're telling him, this is an important detail. You're telling him that you're going to go visit your father, who happens to be very sick. And now when you go visit, so Rachmanis, the father was nifter. So you do kriya. Now, it's not your garment. It's a barred garment. But over here, because you told them what you're going to be using it for, so there, and he still gives it to you, so there's an implicit understanding that if necessary, you're going to do kriya. Umatsu shemes korea. So then, ma'acho, uchishiyavo laveso, ma'achso lo chalukov, anosin lo deme karo. Okay, so... And you'll stitch it up. You'll give it back to its original owner. There was some sort of depreciation of value, meaning obviously it has a tear in it. Granted, you stitched it up, but okay, it went down in value. So you have to reimburse that depreciated value. V'im lo hodio harizeh lo yigabo. However, if you borrowed a garment but you made no clarification in terms of what you plan on doing with the garment that you're going to borrow, and you didn't say that you're going to be visiting your sick father. So under those circumstances, he did not give you permission to do kriya. And so since permission was not granted, obviously you can't do kriya. Tan rabbana cholo shemes lo meis, ein modien oso shemes. Shema titariv dato alav. So if you have somebody...
So what happens? So he has to do later on
another kriya? If in fact he gets his hands on another baggage, so he'll do kriya on the other baggage. Okay. So holech shemes lo meis. So you have somebody who's really sick, and Rachmanis, he now becomes an avo. But he's very sick. He's in a really fragile state. So what the Brisa says is that, no, there's no need to inform him that one of his relatives died, because right now that state of fragility is going to be further compromised if you go ahead and you give him more bad news that he's going to have to shoulder. So ein makriyin befanav, the other relative should not be doing kriya in front of him. Umishatkin es anashim yipanav. And if the women are getting very emotional, so you tell them to be quiet. In other words, you really try to, for his preservation of his own health, so you shield him and you protect him from this really bad news, which he's in no state right now where he can handle it. Umakrin lekatan mimnei agmas nefesh, and then a halacha that we saw earlier, this is not related to the chola, this is now just in general. So in general, so for the katan, you're going to do kriya on the katan. Now the katan does not have a mitzvah of avelus, right? Generally speaking, we have an idea that there's chinuch behind a katanim, and that al tzchinuch they should be doing mitzvos, but when it comes to avelos, so there is no avelos when it comes to a katan. But meanwhile, so you tear the garment. Now, why would you tear the garment? Meaning if what I just said is correct, that there's no avelos by katan, not even a mitzvah tzchinuch avelos by katan, so why are you doing kriya? So the Braisa says, mimnei agmas nefesh, so because of agmas nefesh, other people are going to see, so it's going to make people more emotional. And by kfura, that's what we want. So we want people to get more emotional, right? The crying that's done and the feelings that are had over the loss. So the more that it is enhanced, the better. So over here for the, and I'm saying this not with any type of cynicism. I'm saying this as positively as I can. So for the theater that it produces, in which now people will see it and people will say that he's doing kriya, so and he's a child, so it's going to produce more emotion. And that's something which we're trying to generate at the kvura. And Rachmanis, you lose an in-law, so you're going to do kriya, not because you're an avo, but because out of respect for your wife. Amar Papa Tanaba Eva Rabasi. So Rav Papa teaches the following. So again, Masechet Smachos, which we've been quoting extensively, understandably, Masechet Smachos, dedicated to this particular topic. Those are the brises. Here we have the Gemara. So Aval Lo Yaniach Tinok Besochek Omimnei Shemivil Dischok V'Nimtzim Esgan Albrios. So when you have an aval, so he shouldn't be holding a baby. She shouldn't be holding a baby during avelos, because what the baby's going to do is it's going to bring joy and frivolity, and that's just not the mood that we're trying to generate at the base aval. So the mood is obviously serious, and so you bring a baby, and then they're being held. So that is something which the Braisa in Smacho says is wholly inappropriate. Okay, Rachmanis, if there is a base aval, so it's and there is a child. So it's obviously presents a real challenge, but the Braisa is obviously keeping in line with the mood that one is supposed to generate at the base level. Ein Mavrin El Amito Zakufa. So the Suda Savra. So again, we're going all the way back to the Mishnah. We're on the very bottom of Chavav Amid Beis, and we're going all the way back to the Mishnah and talking about the Suda Savra. The Mishnah makes one comment about the Suda Savra regarding the beds and whether they should be turned upside down, upright or upside down. But first of all, let's just go back and review and repeat what the Suda Savra is. So when the Avo comes home from the funeral for the first time, so there is a Minag Yisrael, we're learning about it now, an old and ancient Minag Yisrael, and that is that we feed the Avo, right? He obviously is he's emotionally distressed, he's a wreck, perfectly understandable. And so what the Minag Yisrael is that it's comfort food. In other words, literally, right? Literally, it's comfort food. So, in other words, aside from the fact that now he's going to be fed, but it's also camaraderie, it's support, it's everything. So this is this Suda Savra. So how is it going to be served to him? Meaning, the Mishnah is just assuming that we know about this entity, this idea called Suda Savra. So how is it going to be served to him? So the Mishnah said, so you're going to be serving it al mito zakufa, so it better have to be turned up, not upside down. Now, when we did the Mishnah, so we pointed out the Mishnah could very well be talking about Chol HaMoed, and that's why the beds have to be upright, not upside down. But anyway, the Gemara now is going to be discussing this idea of the positions that everyone should be in, the positions of the beds. Now, by the way, I use the word beds over here. Beds not only is for sleeping, but beds also for eating. Right back in the good old days, so sofas, couches, so they were used for both sleeping and eating. So in the good old days, they didn't sit upright like us, right? They ate in a lying position. We saw this in the Gemara in Pesachim at length. Anyway, so how should the beds be? Should they be turned upside down or right side up? So turn around, banaholach lebeit ha'avel. So im hayala libo gaspo. So yavruhu al mitos kfuya. So it depends on your relationship with the avel. If you and the avel are really close, right? The libo gaspo. It means that you have a really really close relationship with him. So then you'll be mavri him. In other words, you'll give him the Suda Savra, and you can be on a bed that's also overturned. Im lav, however, if you don't have the warmest relationship with him now, but you're still doing the mitzvah Suda Savra, so then yavru amito zekufa. So then what the bed should be is your bed should be upright. So if your bed is overturned together with his bed. So he's going to be offset by it. He'll be put off by it. So if your relationship with him is such where you're not super close, so you should be in a more formal position. Obviously, his bed will be overturned, but your bed will be upright. Rav Yisrei Bei Milsa. So the Gemara tells us a story following up with this Braisa. And Rav, unfortunately, was an aval. Alagabe Abba Bar Marta du Abba Bar Minyome. So he was visited by Abba Bar Mato, a.k.a. Abba Bar Minyome. So Rav Zakef. So Rav felt that the relationship wasn't that close. So what Rav did is he took the bed and he turned it upright, meaning as a sign, as an indication that, look, I appreciate that you came over to provide Suda Savra. But at the same time, however, I don't feel super comfortable with you. So that's why I'm turning your bed upright. Oh, okay, fine. So Abba Bar Marta Kafe. So Abba Bar Marta took the bed and turned it upside down, meaning because he was trying to indicate that, no, we're really close. We're really good friends. And so we enter now into a socially awkward situation in which Rav is trying to tell him we're not so close. And this Amara, the student, colleague, not clear, But he's like, no, we're really close. So Amar kama leis beidaita lahaitzur b'mirabanan. So Rava basically was frustrated. He said, apparently he's not totally getting it. Right, loose translation, but he's not totally getting it. Meaning I'm communicating to him as clearly as possible. We're not that close. You keep your bed upright. And he now turns it over. He doesn't understand. Tan Rabbanan. Ava olech mimakom mamakom. So a person's in Ava and he's traveling. Okay, we already discussed earlier in this parak, where is he traveling? He's in Ava. Where is he going? Okay, so in of itself, it's a wonderful question. Under most circumstances, he's not to go anywhere. Earlier in the parak, we did talk about where he's going to go be visiting another Avel. And with the question that we asked earlier was, where is he going to be sitting? He's going to be sitting with the Menachmim or the Misnachmim. Anyway, but the... But while traveling is an Avel, Yachal Amai Be'ezkal Yamai. So if he can minimize in terms of his business, he should do so. V'imlav Yigalgi Mahem. And if not, Yigalgi Mahem. That's a really ambiguous term. What exactly does that mean? So there's very few Rashis altogether on this stuff. Right, Rashi over here, towards the end of this parak, became really, really terse in terms of how many comments he's going to be making. Right, I've heard already a number from a number of different people. I don't have a source that Rashi here in Moed Katan may not be Rashi. It may be, once again, we have an absence of Rashi and some other Rishon came along and wrote on behalf of Rashi. But I don't know. But I do know, however, that Rashi is unbelievably terse. Rashi's style in general is terse. But over here, you can see the daf. You can see that very few Rashis over here. But the Gemara makes a comment regarding the Avel who is in desperate need of money. And so he wants to conduct a little bit of business. So what can he do? So the Gemara says, Yigal Gli Mahem. So Rashi writes over here, one of his few comments, Eino Oses Chor B'Fenei Atzma Ela Im Chabura. So basically you partner up with a group. In other words, so there's some group, some capital group, if you will, who are taking money and making business out of it. So what you can do is you can include your money with that group, and hopefully they'll make on your behalf. Okay, that's what you should do. Who's doing business during Avelis, right? Didn't we say that there's an Isser Malacha during Avelis? So over here, Tosus discusses this right here in our daf in some detail in terms of what kind of financial position he currently is right now, where clearly in the Brisa there is some heter to allow him to do some form of business. See the top Tosos for more discussion on that. Tana Rabbanan. We're continuing. Me'emasai kofin asamito. So at what point in time do you do kfi asamito? So again, I know I've made this point numerous times in our parak, but this is the parak to make this point, albeit this is already a repeated point. And that is that there is a chiyuv of the three chiyuvim of an avel. So one of the three chiyuvim is kfi asamita, where you take your bed and you turn it upside down. Okay, we don't do it nowadays. It's not our minhag nowadays. Tosus already acknowledges it's not our minhag. So Tosus is writing this 800 years ago. Okay, it's not our minhag. Why isn't our minhag? Good, so Tosus made a suggestion, made actually two suggestions, if I remember correctly. But right now, let's just deal with the halacha libe de Gemara. You have to do kfiyas amita. You have to take your bed, you have to turn it over. What's the significance of kfiyas amita? So we also discussed this earlier as well. So it has to do with the fact that we lost a Tzelem Elokim. The bed represents Tzelem Elokim. We said a couple of things. Number one, that's where people are produced, on a bed. Number two is that when you lie down in a bed, so it gives the form of the human, right? That you make an impression, literal, a physical impression in the bed. And so therefore, as a significance in terms of now that we had a loss of Tzelem Elokim, so therefore the beds are turned over. Okay. Points that we made earlier. Over here at this point in the Gemara, we're discussing when to do Kfiyas Amita, a detail in this practice. So the Gemara goes on to discuss. So my aim is the Kofin is Amita's Mishiyetze Pesach Habayis. I'm sorry, Mishiyetze Pesach Beso. So you're leaving your house to bury. So in other words, you're en route to the cemetery in order to bury. That's when you do Kfiyas Amita. Okay, it's a little bit interesting because you're not yet formally an Avel, meaning your Avelis will not be starting until after the Kvura. Okay, but that's the Divrei Rebbe Elazar. Shitas Rebbe Elazar is going to actually start even a little bit before the Kvura. So Rebbe Yeshua Amar Mishiyista Magola. So and Rebbe Yeshua is of the position that no, that once you put the lid on top of the Aron and presumably he means and complete the burial. That's presumably what he means. Then and only then is there going to be an obligation of Kfiyas Amita. Ma'aseh Shemais Rebbe Gamliel Zakein. V'kevish Yatsa Mi Pesach Beis. So Amar Lem Rebbe Eliezer Kafu Mitosechem. The Kevishinista Magola, Amalem Rabbi Yeshua, Kafu Mitosechem, Amalok Far Kafino, Api Zakin. So the story was is that with the death of Rabbi Gamliel Zakin, so the moment that they left the house, Rabbi Lazar gave very clear instructions to the family members. Okay. So he's leaving the house en route to the cemetery to bury. But now Rabbi Lazar, Lishita So, is of the position that now we're going to do Kriyas Amita. And they did it based on his instruction. Now, they then buried, and they did Stimas Hagolel, the putting the lid on top of the Aron. But again, I'm assuming that that means finishing of the burial. And Rabbi Yeshua says now to the relatives of Rabbi Gamliel, now do Kfiyah. And they said to him, no, we did it already because Rabbi Lazar already gave us instructions in terms of what to do. Okay, machlok is between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua. And actually, you see it put into practice over here, the debate, Tanu Rabbanan. Again, another point that we've made already earlier in this parak, but let's repeat again. So Shabbos, so many of the Nihugim of Avilos are going to be lifted. How, to what degree are they going to be lifted for Shabbos? So hopefully you recall, it's a machlokas amongst the Amoraim, perhaps a machlokas Tanaim as well. The Gemara tried to make that point. That point is not super clear, but certainly a machlokas amongst the Amoraim. To what degree are Nihugi Avilos on Shabbos going to be lifted? According to everybody, the beds have to be turned upright for Shabbos. Right? The beds, again, I know we think about beds, we think about bedroom, but back in the day, beds were throughout the house. And they weren't for just sleeping, they were also for lying down and for eating. And so the halacha of Kfiyas Amita, so for Shabbos, it's considered a public act, it's a public observance, and so therefore for Shabbos, you have to turn it upright. So when do you turn it upright? Well, that's exactly the Gemara's point. And the Gemara says, Me'ema Sa'izok Fenas Amitas, Be'er of Shabbos, Menem Menchalamala. So once you get into the afternoon, Friday afternoon, so already in preparation for Shabbos, so at that point in time, you're going to do Kfiyas Amita. As you can imagine, the Gemara says, Mincha, we have two Minchas. We have what's called Mincha Gedola, we have Mincha Kitana. Mincha Gedola is a half an hour after midday. Mincha Kitana is 3.5 hours after midday. So which Mincha are we talking about, Mincha Gedola, Mincha Kitana? You can imagine, the Gemara is not clear about it, therefore, it's a machlokas. Tosus over here is Mesupak in terms of which Mincha we're talking about. Amarabba Baravuna Afa P. Kain, Eni Yoshev Ale Ashitach Shach. So, despite the fact now that your bed is turned upright, you have a perfect allowance to do so for Shabbos, you must turn your beds back upright for Shabbos, but nevertheless, you can already start doing so from sometime in the afternoon. However, you can't actually send the bed until Shabbos itself. Ula Motzei Shabbos Afa P. Shein Lo Leishev Ela Yom Echad Chozer V'Kofet. Now, let's say Motzei Shabbos. Let's say you only have one day of Avelis, it doesn't matter. Even with only one day of Avelis left, you still have to take your beds. You have to turn them upside down once again for the remainder of your Avelis. Tanu Rabbanan. HaKofi mitasa lo mitasa bavadu kofi ela kol mito sheyesh lo besoch beisu kofi. In terms of this halacha of Kfiyas Amita, so it's not just a bed that you're lying down. Every bed in your house needs to be turned upside down. Ve'afilu yesh lo aser mitos basar mekamos kofes kulan. 10 beds, 10 locations, you turn them all over. Ve'afilu chamisha achin. Echad, Kulan Kofin. So and let's say you have 5 brothers, and they happen to be living in different houses, and one of them die. So and not everyone's gonna be in the base hames, nevertheless, Kulan Kofin. So everyone within their own homes is gonna do Kriya Samita. The Kiddush over here is that up until this point in time, you could have thought you might have made an argument that Kriya Samita should only be done in the house that suffered the actual loss. In other words, again, the idea of Kfiyas Amita is that there's a loss of Tzelem Elokim, and so therefore, only in the house of actual loss, that's where you do Kfiyas Amita. So we're learning together that no, that this is a practice of Avelim, and even if the Avel is not going to be knowing Avelis in the Beis Hameis, nevertheless, they're still going to do this practice of Kfiyas Amita. V'im Haisa Amita Miyucheres Kalim, Lekelim and Tzarech Lekfosa. So here, one heter, and that would be is that if you have a bed where it's not meant for sitting, but it's meant to store things, people put things on the bed, right? Some people, when they're in their foyer, they go into the house, so it's a couch, but it's not really a couch. It's where people put things there. Okay, so if its designation is for items, not for people, so that does not require kfiyah. So Dargash ain't Tzarech Lekfosa. The Bryce had one more point, and that is when you get to the Dargash. Now, the Dargash, right, I don't know if my pronunciation is good, maybe Dargash, regardless. When you get to the dargash, so what you have to do is you have to, you also have a heter over there where you don't have to turn the dargash over. I hope you're wondering what that is. The Gemara in a moment is about to discuss. Ella zokfo. What you do with the dargash is that you turn it on its side, but you don't turn it over. And Rosh Hashanah Gamlil Amar Dargash Matios Karbitav and Vehu Nofel May a Love. So, and according to the Rashbag, so what you do is that you unloop it, and what you do is you allow it to fall to the ground. Okay, now a lot being discussed over here. So my dargash. So as far as this last heter is concerned, that the dargash does not need to be turned over. What exactly do you do with it? Machlokas Tanayim, what you do with the dargash, but let's start off with a really simple question, and that is, what is a dargash? So that's the Gemara's question. My dargash amar Ula arsa degada. So Ula gives a shot, and that he says that it's the bed of good luck. So again, of the few comments that Rashi makes here in our daf, Rashi does comment on what does that mean? The bed of good luck. Arsa degada. Mita shemiyachtim oso lamazel tov. Ve'mishamshim baklum ela miyachtim oso lishros mazel tov alel. So it's a good luck bed. So yeah, so people have good luck beds in their house. Rashi says it over here. Rashi also offers the same shot in a number of other places as well, right? Whether this is or this isn't Rashi, this is certainly Rashi's position throughout Shas. That the Dargash is discussed a couple of times throughout Shas as being one of them. And so Rashi over here writes that the Dargash is a good luck bed. So the Ran in Sanhedrin asks exactly a question. So in other words, we know that we are not allowed to make any kind of superstitious practices. And so the Ran in Sanhedrin says, if Rashi's right, so that sounds like a superstitious practice. Well, the Ran over there offers a different pshat. Anyway, but what I offer to you in terms of the pshat here in our Gemara is Rashi throughout Shas. He says that's what it is. It's a good luck bed. The word God means good luck. Can I give you one other place in Chumash where we know that? So that is by the birth of God. So if you remember, so after... Who gives birth to God? I don't remember. So, right, one of the shvachos. Okay, sorry, I should know. So anyway, but Rashi over there in Chumash writes that with the birth of God. So right, so Yaakov names him God. So what does that mean? So I think I know. I think it's Zilpah. Okay, I wouldn't mind if someone fact checked me. But that's right. So because when after it was born, so the name Bagad, so Rashi over there offers a couple pshatim. I think three in total. I'm sorry, I'm going on memory now. That's not good. So, but anyway, Rashi offers a number of pshatim. One of the pshatim that Rashi's offered is that the God means luck, good luck. So when Bagad is a contraction of with the birth of this child, Bagad, good luck has come. Okay, that's one pshat. The reason why now I'm pretty sure it was Zilpah. It's because Rashi offered another pshat, and that is bagad from the word bogade. You rebelled. Because what Leah says is that, essentially, you're now no longer with me, you're now with my midwife, and now you're producing a child with my midwife. That's an act of begida, it's an act of rebellion, right? And I always find that Rashi to be curious, because, of course, Leah told him to be with her midwife in order to produce a child. So then afterwards, she says that you're a bogade, you're rebelling. So when I was younger, that Rashi bothered me. And now I'm a little bit older, and now I perfectly understand it. All right? That's a, it's a, yeah, perfectly. Okay. Anyway, we move on. Okay. So sorry. So that was Arsa Degada. So Amar Le Rabba Lamiata. Okay. So the Gemara now asks the following question. So Lagabi Melech Didnan Kol Am Subim Alarz Vehu Mesev Alar Dargesh. So. Or Rechmanus, if the king is an Avel, so what should be the practice of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? The Gemara over here, same Gemara in Sanhedrin in terms of its discussion. We're looking here at the second parak of Sanhedrin. All the halachas of a king are located in the second parak of Sanhedrin. Okay, good. So anyway, so the Kol Ha'am Mesubim Al Ha'aretz V'Hu Meisav Al Ha'Dargesh. So the people are going to be sitting on the ground. He, the king, and again, he has a certain level of kavod they ask to maintain. So he's not going to be sitting on the floor. He's not going to be sitting on a standard chair. So what is he going to do? He'll send the dargash. Okay, good. So amik amida da'ad ha'ina lo osivna v'hashtam osfinale. So the Gemara says, so now, if you're telling me, Ula, that the dargash is a good luck bed, so and no one in general sits on it, so how strange a scene are we painting right now? Where up until now, no one sits on the bed, and now the king is going to be sitting on this bed? That's bizarre. So Moshe of Rav Ashi says that question really did not move me at all. Not bothered by that. So my kusha, me did the havi achilu shvia da'ana ino lo achlinu v'lo ashkeninu, hasha achlinu v'ashkina. So he says, look, can I tell you the fact that we're practicing things a little bit unusual by an avel? That's what happens. A person's an avel. So what happens? Everyone starts coming over and feeding him. That's not normal. Okay, so when it comes to avelos, so we're going to act a little abnormally. That's just avelos by its very definition. No one's been sitting on this bed generally, and now he's an avel, sits on the bed. Okay, it happens. So Eli Kasha Akasha. The Gemara says, okay. So what I would like to do is I would like to reset the question, meaning I have a question. You're right. My question with the king in the bed and the Dargish bed, that wasn't a question. But I know the following, either Nan or Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Dargish and a Sarach Litfosa la Zogfo. So we go back to the Braisa that we saw earlier, which is that what do you do with the Dargish? So what you do with it is that you don't have to turn it over, but you put it on its side. So E Arsa Degada. Now, Ula, if you're right, and we're talking about a good luck bed. So I'm a Sarach Litfosa. Hasad Tanya Kofi Mitas Alomitas Abavad Hu Kofi Elas Mitoshesh. So we already know the Brisa says that you have to overturn every bed. And if you're insistent that the Dargish is a good luck bed, so you know what a good luck bed is? It's a bed. So you should turn it over. So the Gemara says, my kasha. And again, so the Gemara in defense of Ula says, I'm not that excited about this question as well. Well, you also remember the Brisa that we did earlier, just a couple minutes ago. And the Brisa said that if you're looking at a bed that is designated for Kalim, you don't have to turn it over. So that bed you don't have to turn over. Okay, so the Dargish you don't have to turn over as well. Okay, so L.A. Kasha Akasha. So the Gemara says, okay, so again, I want to reset the question. Because again, I know I have a question, but let's reset it. Rishim and Gamaliel Omer Dargash Matir Kabisav Unaf Omei Elav. So what do you do with the Dargash? So according to Rishim and Gamaliel, you untie it and you let it fall to the floor. Now again, it'd be so much more helpful if we knew what the Dargash actually looked like, so then we can understand this maneuver of Rashbag. But anyway, so again, if it's a good luck bed like you're insisting, so then what are these karvitim? What are these cords that the Rashbag are untying? Meaning you don't find that by a bed in general. Okay, so the Gemara is unhappy with Ula's pshat. Although the Gemara defended it two times over, but the third time, it is a difficult shot to defend. So the Gemara continues. Ki asa Ravin, Amar le Umi Rabbanan. So Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he has a conversation with a Talmid Chacham. V'Rav Tachlifi bar Ma'arva Shmei, Devashchich B'Shuka D'Goldai. His name happened to have been Rav Tachlifa. So my Dargash, Arsa Detzila. So he gives a different shot in terms of what a dargash is, and that is, it's a leather bed. Okay, a bed where the sheet is not made up. Standard beds back in the good old days were basically, it was a weave. Right? You take various cords, a soft material, and you weave it through the bed. And so what you're lying down is on some sort of woven fabric, or woven garment, or woven cords, something along those lines. And over here, in terms of a dargash is leather, meaning it is basically a sheet of leather, and with other leather cords, it is now fastened and secured to the frame of the bed. Okay.
Like a trampoline.
Oh, yeah, kind of like a trampoline. It's not a bad image. You could be right. So okay, so now, we understand a little bit better. So now that we're describing it more like some sort of leather bed, so. So this leather bed, so we understand the Rashbag's position makes a little bit more sense. Meaning, what do you do? So it's, in other words, it's not just this weave, but it's an actual material. It's a piece of leather. So according to the Rashbag, you untie it, and it basically falls right to the floor. Okay, somehow in ways in which I can't really articulate because I don't really understand what this bed looks like. So to do Zakifa with it, it would ruin it. Okay, I don't know what I mean by that. Okay, yeah, but in other words, right, but... It could be. I don't know. I don't know. I would simply be guessing. But in other words, turning it over is going to damage it, and that's why a debate amongst the Tanaim what to do with it. So the Gemara brings down it. Manam Amar Rav Yirmiyah Dargash Serugo. The Serugo Mitocho Mita Serugo Agaba. And Rav Yirmiyah says that when you have the Dargash, so in terms of its connection to the frame, so it's within. As far as a standard bed, its connection to the frame is on top of the frame. And again, what Rav Yirmiyah is trying to describe over here, picture would be worth a lot. But what he's trying to describe over here is basically this idea that a standard bed is a woven, is a weave, some sort of weave. And the dargash over here is basically the leather sheet is connected to the post. But in other words, through the interior, not through looping it around. Okay. Am Rav Yaakov Barach, Am Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, Halach Gerushim Ben Gamliel. As far as the halach is concerned, what do you do with the dargash? Do you turn it upright? Do you just simply undo the straps of the halach? Is like Rashbag. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Barach, Amar Rabbi Asi Mita Shini Naklita Yotzin Zokfo V'Dayah. What if your bed has some sort of canopy? Back in Sukkah, we discussed this in more detail because we discussed whether or not you're allowed to sleep under a canopy bed within the Sukkah. Okay. So, but meanwhile, right now what we're focusing on is how you're going to turn it over. Meaning, if it's got a canopy on it, it's going to make it challenging in terms of turning it over. So what do you do? So what you do is you just simply turn it on its side. Tanu Rabbanan. Yashin agabe kisa agabe udna gedola agabe karka lo yasi yideh chavaso. This price that we saw also earlier in this parak, and that is that if you're sitting on a chair or on some sort of mortar or on the ground, so you haven't fulfilled your obligation. What obligation have you not fulfilled? I'm Rav Yochanan shelo kiyem kfiya samita. You haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Kfiya Samita. Kfiya Samita is really specific in that you got to take the bed, you got to turn it over. Tanu Rabbanan. Mechabdin umarvitzin beveisa ava. So in terms of general housekeep and upkeep of the house, so you can sweep and you could sweep. And back then they did more than just sweep because their floors were dirt. And so what they would do is they would sprinkle water down on the floor in order to keep the dirt down, keep the dust down. So you could do that in the Beis Avel. You could do basic dishwashing as well. However, to bring mugmar, which is to create this really aromatic smell in the house, that you cannot do in the Beis Avel. Incense, burning incense. So as far as burning incense or besamim in the Beis HaAvel, presumably over here we're talking about Motzei Shabbos, where obviously there's a mitzvah in general to smell fragrance on Motzei Shabbos. So you're not allowed to do so by Beis HaAvel. So the Gemara says, now if you're reading this Brisa carefully, what does the Brisa say? Ein mevarchin. Meaning the Brisa is only dunning on whether or not you're allowed to make a bracha. Meaning you could smell it, you just simply can't make a bracha. So So now we're good and confused. Meaning previously we said that you're not allowed to bring mugbar and besamim into the Beis Avel b'chlal. Here in the Braisa, we're just dunning on making the bracha, meaning that you can't make a bracha, but you're allowed to bring it in. So which one's correct? Lokasha, ha be'Beis Avel, ha be'Beis Menachmin. So the Gemara says that the discrepancy between the two Braisas can be resolved in the following. The Braisa that says that you could bring in mugmar, you could bring in besamim, and you can't, but you can't make a bracha on it. That's talking about Beis HaAvel. Now, Beis HaAvel in this context, so that's talking about where the mace is still in the house. So the mace is still in the house, so what are you trying to do over here with the fragrances? So all you're trying to do over here is mitigate. In other words, right now there's a bad smell, and you're trying to mitigate that bad smell. So you're bringing in the aroma, but only to remove something which is foul. So for that, you don't make a bracha. The bracha on a good smell is just for that. In other words, it's for a good smell. But if the whole purpose is just to remove a foul odor, so you don't make a bracha on that, right? Again, you speak to a rav for halach lamaisa, but like air fresheners, right? If they really are just to get a foul smell out, so then you don't make a bracha on that. Ha be'beis ha-menachmim, and in other words, but if the mace has already been buried, so the house, the odor is gone, and the only thing you're trying to accomplish right now is to bring in a good odor to make the house more aromatic. But again, it's a Beis HaAvel, just simply not, it's not appropriate. It's not the mood that we're trying to engender. And so therefore, you don't bring it in under those circumstances. Meaning, forget bracha, you just simply don't bring it in bichlal. Okay. We're going to start the next Mishnah. We're going to do a little bit more for this morning. I'm fine for falling a little bit behind. As you can see, in just a couple of days, we're going to be finishing the Masechta, and on Thursday's daf, it's really short. Anyway, but let's...
circumstance, when you burn incense,
That's clear. That's absolutely clear. Ein molichin lebeis ha'av lo betav lo v'lo askut lo v'lo bekanon ela besalim. So the in terms of presenting the Sudas Avra with the to the Beis Aval. So you are going to be presenting it, but not on these various plates. Okay, the right, but salim, but regular wicker baskets. So the and the reason why, meaning so why not present it in a lavish form? So one could have argued that it has to do with the fact that again it we're trying to create a certain mood. That's not a bad pshat, but as it will become clear from the Gemara, that's not really not what is the driving force behind the Mishnah over here. What's the driving force behind the Mishnah over here is that certainly at a time where a person is fragile emotionally, and just we want to create as much sensitivity as possible. So what we won't want to do is that we don't want to make any kind of class system at this point in time. Meaning there's the haves and the have-nots, and that's the way it always is, and you can debate whether it's good or whether it's bad. It is. In other words, it just simply is the reality of life. There's the haves and the have-nots, and so many aspects of our lives, we know who the haves and the have-nots. So you see the house they live in, you see the cars they drive. Okay, good. So that's the way the world works. Meanwhile, at the base of El, so what you want to try to do is you want to try to be really sensitive to people's self-esteem, their dignity. And you want to try to keep everything as simple as possible. And so the driving force over here of this halacha is that you really want to keep everyone as equal as possible at that point in time. Okay. So the Ein Omrin Birchas Avelim B'Moed. So returning back to Chol HaMoed. So right, I know we left for a while because we launched into a lengthy discussion regarding Avelis and Nihuge Avelis in general. But over here, the Mishnah brings us back. So the Birchas Avelim made reference to this bracha numerous times. The nusach of the bracha is not here. The nusach is in another Gemara. But meanwhile, on Chol HaMoed, we do not make the Birchas Avelim. Ava Omde Meshura Menachmen, but you do form the two lines. You do give him a nechama. Upochem as Rabbim. And the Ava goes ahead and he excuses everybody, meaning you only leave when he basically gives you the nod that it now is a good time to leave. Eimenichem as Amita Berachov. You don't leave the coffin out in the street in order to be masbid. Shalola hargel es ha-hespid. You don't want to make a long hespid on Chol HaMoed. So, v'lo shel nashim, la'olam imnei ha-kavon. For women also, you don't want a long hespid. For women, alts kavon. What kavon are we talking about? Meaning, why don't we want to prolong it? So, because what could happen is that by woman, so there could be discharge coming out of the woman, even post-mortem, and that would obviously be very embarrassing and very degrading, and again, Kavod HaBrios would dictate and demand that anything that we could do to mitigate any kind of embarrassment, we want to try to create as much Kavod HaMeis as we can. So for the woman, so Kavod HaMeis over there would mean bury as quickly as possible. Tana Rabbanan. We're starting with the Gemara on the bottom of Chof Zayin Amid Aleph. So originally what was the case is that for the wealthy families, for the Sudas Havra, so they would be served in fancy platters, and for the poor people they would be served in wicker baskets. So vayu aniyim is baishim, and needless to say, so when you're poor, so you were embarrassed. In general, obviously, so you know you're standing, but at this point in time, so it's a really sensitive time, so they felt really bad. So hitkinu, so a takana, hakol mivin, b'salim tzarim shel harava, klufa mimnei kvodim shel aniyim. So therefore, an institution is made that at this point in time, so everybody's going to be served in simple wicker baskets, and so therefore, more sensitivity at this point in time. Tanu rabbanon, b'rishon ayumashim b'veis ha'avel. Originally, when serving drink, so Ashirin bizchuches levana va'aniim bizchuches tzivua. So levana tzivua. So again, there was clear indicators of the cups that you were served in terms of which class you were in, whether you were in the wealthy class or whether you were not part of the wealthy class. So, but again, how you aniim is baishim. Again, the poor people were embarrassed. Itkinu shi'akol mashkim bizchuches tzivua mimnei kvodim shel aniyim. And so therefore, out of respect for the ani, so only in colored garments, colored cups. Okay, colored glasses, again, I don't fully understand, but I do get the basic point. In other words, it's cheaper, and so now everyone's going to be put on an even surface, even playing field at this point in time. Barishona. Ayu megalim p'nei ashirim. Okay, now for us, it's going to sound like a very strange minug, but again, we're now operating in the takana period, and so for us, it's strange. But originally, what they would do is that they would keep the face open and revealed of the wealthy person, meaning so in the coffin, so the face is revealed, and once again, that'll create more bechi, more crying, and as we've discussed already at the kvura, so you want to try to create as much crying and as much of a sense of loss as you can at the actual kvura. That's the time to cry. And anything that can help people cry at that point in time, so that's good. So they would keep the faces open, uncovered. Umechasim p'nei aniyim. However, mimnei shayu mushcharim p'neiim, mimnei b'tzaras. But poor people who were so so destitute and they were starving, so their faces were not pleasant to look at, so their faces were covered. So v'ayu aniyim mizbaishos. And so over here, right, in an interesting turn of events, it was the wealthy people who were embarrassed. So itkinishu mechasim p'nei yakol mimnei kvodim shel aniyim. And so therefore, just to keep everything nice and level, so everyone's face was covered. Rishona yumotzin ashirim bedargash and aniyim beklicha. And so originally, how were they taken out? So wealthy people were taken out in fancy coffins, and poor people were taken out in these baskets or whatever, in these very cheap wooden boxes. Value aniyim as baishim, the aniyim were embarrassed. And so therefore, everyone was taken out in these simple coffins. Okay, the one thing, however, which is rather amazing, phenomenal, in terms of coincidences, is that today's Ein Adar, and so it's certainly right the day really that you highlight the work of the Chevra Kedisha, and here we're talking about basically Inyane Chevra Kedisha. That in of itself is amazing. Let's just do a little bit more this morning. Brishon Ayu Menichem is the Mogmar, so Tachas Chole Me'ayim Mesim Vayu Chole Me'ayim Chaim is Baishim. So originally, what they would do is that for people who were suffering from stomach issues, intestinal issues, and so after they died, so there was still some leaking going on. I'm sorry, it's not pleasant, but I'm just explaining the Gemara. So there was and it smelled really terrible. So what they would do is that for that individual, they would burn incense right around the funeral, so that it would mitigate the really foul odor. And so anyone who was suffering intestinal issues while they were alive and they were there at the kvura. So they felt terrible because they realized that when they're dead, so basically their IBS, their Crohn's disease now is going to be shared with everybody. Okay, so they felt terrible. So what do they do? So once again, heightened sensitivity at this point in time. So now what they would do is that they would burn mugmar at every funeral. And so therefore, nobody would be outed, so to say, that they were suffering from this kind of intestinal issue. Let's do a couple more. So what they would do is that they would tovel. Right, a woman died, and she was in nida right before she died. And so all the kelim that she had now needed to be toveled. And so they would do so. So you need those chayos misbaishos. But of course, the women who were there and present at the funeral, and they saw in other words, this woman now, obviously post-mortem, but she basically, an announcement is made that she was a nida right before she died, and now they're going to feel embarrassed. So, hitkinushiyu matbilim al gabe kol nashim, mim nekforim shal nidos chayos. So now what they did as a standard practice is that a woman died. It doesn't matter if she wasn't nida. She wasn't nida. They're going to tovel all of her kelim. A man who was a zav who died before he died, he was a zav, and again, all of his kelim demanded, required that they Bitovold, and Vayuazavim Chaim is Baishim. And again, if you're at the funeral and you're a Zav, so now you, right now, you don't have to share that with anyone. In fact, you don't want to share with anyone. You'd rather not disclose this information. But now you see what's happening over here, where he's being outed. So again, Shayu Madbil Magavakol. I'm sorry, Hitkinu Shayu Madbil Magavakol Mimnei Kvodim Shel Zavim Chaim. And so once again, so and they tovled all the kalim of everybody so that nobody would be embarrassed. The expenses of burial sometimes was so hard, it was worse than the actual death itself. And people who couldn't afford a burial, so what they would do is that they would drop and run, and they just simply couldn't afford it. So takana was made here. Rabbi Gamliel said that for himself, he's going to be buried in simple tachrichin. And so now, from this point going forward, everyone's going to be buried in simple tachrichin. Amra Papa Vaidna Nagama Afila Bitsarda Barzuza. Rapapa says nowadays the minhag is to be buried in the simplest of garments, the cheapest of garments. And all this is credited to Rabbi Gamliel, who once again make sure that nobody would be embarrassed at the kvura. Okay, this will be a good place to stop. Okay, let's recap a really long daf today. Let's do this in short order. Okay, we started today in Chavav Amud Beis, and we started with the halachas of kriya. Question is that how far can you go down on your shirt, and it still is a valid kriya? Machlokis Tanaim Atiburo Adlibo. In terms of when you could do a hosafa versus when you have to do a new kriya, okay, machlokas amarayim, whether it's only after shiva, whether it's only after shloshim, okay, we discussed and deliberated that machlokas for some time. Suda savra is going to be done in terms of where you're sitting when giving the suda savra. Depends on your relationship with the avo. If you're really close with him, you'll sit on the ground with him. If you're not really close with him, you'll be sitting Amita Zakufa. And that takes us to Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. When do you do Kfiyas Amita? Machlokas HaTanayim. Machlokas Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Whether it's done when you leave to go to the cemetery, or Kfiyas Amita is going to be done only after Stimas HaGolal. Machlokas Tanayim, we saw a story in which this Machlokas actually played out. Okay. A lot of discussion today regarding Kfiyas Amita. On Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, so we discussed in detail in terms of which beds need to be overturned, which beds do not need to be overturned, and a lengthy discussion regarding some sort of special bed called the dargash. What is the dargash? Multiple explanations. Ula gave an explanation, and in Eretz Yisrael, they also gave another explanation as well in terms of what the dargash is. Does it require kfiyah? Does it require to be turned over? So a machlokas in terms of exactly what to do with it. Okay, when presenting the Suda Savra on the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, so how are you to present it? In simple kalim, and nothing fancy. And over the course of the remainder of today's daf, from Chav Zayin Amud Aleph all the way to the top of Chav Zayin Amud Beis, we talked about how it's at this point in time where he's obviously, the Avel, is in a distressed state, and so therefore you don't want to remind him at this point in time whether he or she is in the have department or in the have not department. And so therefore, a standardization of all practices regarding presenting the Suda Savra in terms of the burial, in terms of how we're going to treat the mace. So we standardize the practice, keeping it as simple as possible, keeping it as cheap as possible, and so therefore we can be really sensitive at this point in time.